Let's read together Isaiah chapters 54 and 55. In these two chapters, we have the good results of the great work of the Lord's servant, namely the restoration of Israel and the salvation of the Gentiles. Let's begin by reading the first 8 verses of chapter 54. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Let's begin our study of Isaiah 54 with some background notes. The suffering servant was the subject of Isaiah 53. His substitutionary sufferings on the cross are clearly in view. We saw the prediction of the bodily resurrection of the Lord. Here in chapters 54 and 55 of Isaiah, we see further predictions of these good results of the suffering servant's great work of dying on the cross for the sins of the world. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Isaiah 54. Because of the servant's work, Israel will be restored. Because of the servant's work, Israel will be restored. In verses 1 through 8, the idea is that Israel, as an unfaithful wife, is being restored by her faithful, forgiving husband, the Lord himself. No wonder the chapter begins with a joyous shout. The unfaithful wife who has been barren will now become the mother of so many children that she will have to enlarge her tent. Verses 2 and 3. The time of her shame and disgrace is over. Verse 4. Her restoration is only because of God's grace. Verses 5 and 6. Yes, God, as a righteous husband, did have to turn away from Israel because of her sin. But with great compassion and loyal love, he will restore his people. Now, when would all of this take place? Was all of this fulfilled when Israel came back from her Babylonian captivity? Verses 9 and 10 indicate that all of this is yet in the future when the Lord returns. Because these verses predict that this restoration will be complete and permanent, which could certainly not be said of Israel today or any time in the past. Verses 9 and 10. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. As God's covenant with Noah guaranteed that the world would never be flooded again with water, so God's covenant with Israel was guaranteed. Mountains and hills may split apart, but God's loyal love and unconditional covenant with Israel will never fail. In verses 11 through 17, the illustration of a restored wife is changed now to a restored city. Let's read these verses. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempests and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith, who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Again, these predictions were not fulfilled when Israel returned from her Babylonian captivity, but they will be fulfilled when the Lord returns to this earth and establishes his millennial kingdom with Jerusalem as his capital. We see in verses 15 and 16 that everything is under the sovereign control of God. He cannot be blamed for any form of anti-Semitism, but in his sovereignty, he allows nations and evil anti-Semitic organizations to oppose Israel. In fact, in his sovereign will, he not only allows new weapons to be used against Israel, but allows the blacksmiths who make the weapons. But when Israel is restored, and they finally become the servants of the Lord that they were meant to be, verse 17, then no weapon that is formed, including nuclear bombs and warheads, will be a threat to Israel. Because of the servant's work, Israel will be restored. Doctrine point number two. Because of the servant's work, Gentiles will be redeemed. Because of the servant's work, Gentiles will be redeemed. Let's continue reading verses 1 through 5 of chapter 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Isaiah chapter 55 is one of the great gospel chapters of the Bible. And of course, this open invitation to anyone is only because of the finished work of the Lord's servant who died on the cross for the sins of the world. So the invitation for everyone who thirsts and is hungry to come and freely partake of the water and food of life is a gospel message not only for Israel, but for the whole world. Now we might get the idea from verse 3 that only Israel is in view based on the phrases covenant with you, that is Israel, and faithful mercy shown to David. But we see in verse 4 that the servant Messiah will be a witness and leader and commander of many people. And in verse 5, we see that through restored Israel, Gentile nations will turn to the Lord. Now we know from other prophetic scriptures that this will specifically take place during the future Great Tribulation period, leading up to the Lord's return, as well as part of our Lord's program of setting up his millennial earthly kingdom. Read Revelation chapter 7 and Zechariah chapter 14 in this connection. Because of the servant's work, Gentiles will be redeemed. Now, for our practical application, we'll come to the second half of Isaiah chapter 55. Don't say it's too good to be true. Don't say it's too good to be true. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 13. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty without fruit, is the idea. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You know, when some people hear the good news of Isaiah 55, they say it can't be true. It's too good to be true. You mean salvation is free? You don't have to work for it in any way? That's too good to be true. You mean the God of this universe can be known, and he has compassion on me and will abundantly pardon all my wrong thoughts and actions, verses 6 and 7? Yes, that's the truth. Oh, that's too good to be true. Illustration. Not too long ago, I had a very successful lawyer say exactly that to me when I explained the gospel to him. Oh, I'd love to believe that, he said, but I'd be kissing my brains goodbye. It's too good to be true. Well, verses 8 and 9 give the explanation for this lawyer's thinking. God's thoughts are not man's thoughts, and God's ways are higher than man's ways. Man's thoughts and ways are selfish and evil and can't comprehend a God of grace. Further good news is given in verses 10 and 11. Let's read those verses once again. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. Just as the rain and snow water the earth and make it fruitful, so God's word will bring forth fruit. Illustration. Recently, a new believer wrote to us from Pakistan and explained how he had become a believer through our website, growingchristians.org. Now, if you've been to our website, you know it's not designed for unbelievers, but for teaching believers, thus the name, Growing Christians. But just by hearing the word and hearing it explained, this man came to Christ. The Lord said, verse 11, my word shall not return to me void. The word of the Lord also declares in verses 12 and 13, that the sad effects of sin on this natural world will be lifted and nature itself will rejoice. Verses 12 and 13, once again, the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. When will this take place? This will take place when the Lord returns and establishes his glorious kingdom here on this earth. This is the truth. The word of God has declared it, and it will happen. All of this is part of God's good news. Don't say it's too good to be true.